is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. That felt low energy. I feel a bit low energy today. I didn't remember Trump, low energy. I didn't sleep very well. When the lights cut off last night, I woke up. Well, my generator kicked in because I like you all who still hanging on to this dream that VPL could get it together. So my light went off, and then the generator kicked in. And as you hear the hum of the generator, you think in your head how much money this can cost you in propane. So I didn't sleep that great. I could have used a couple more hours. But no, it's not the Rona. Not the Rona. I don't think it's the Rona. Cases going up, though. You might. One of y'all might have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't feel like I have it. There's 75 cases today. Cases going up. 61 on New Providence. Cat Island's going wild. Hospitalizations back up. Another death. No, don't do nothing, eh? We just can let it ride, eh? All right, well, you know. Everyone ain't gonna make it, but here we are. Kermit, they about to legalize it, bro. Huh? Let's begin with a story today. I just did. I tried to implicate you. Just telling you, in case you didn't hear, that's all. That's what I just said. All right, the story today is a story that ended well. Started off in tragedy. 19 years ago, a 35-year-old man named Perry Mortimer, who was a barber, was arrested by police with 6 grams of marijuana in his possession. And he was charged with possession of marijuana with intent to supply, which is an indictable offense, which does not come off your record unless it is expunged by the Rehabilitation of Offenders Committee or the Committee of the Prerogative of Mercy, or I believe the Governor General can issue some sort of decree, right? So for 6 grams of marijuana, less than 1/4 ounce, I say we euphemistically because I had nothing to do with it. The Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Bahamas court system, hobbled a 35-year-old man for 20 years. He's not had a clean police record. He's been unable to travel to the United States for 20 years because he had 6 grams of marijuana on him. Less than 1/4 ounce. We screwed Perry Mortimer for 20 years. He is now 54, and he's very happy. All right? Paul Farquharson, former police commissioner, remembers him fondly. Mortimer used to give his two sons haircuts. Paul Farquharson's two sons, Mortimer used to give him haircuts. Police, in which was I don't know if Farquharson was the commissioner in 2002 or one, three, whatever it is, two. The man used to give your son haircuts, yet now the man's arrested and has a permanent stain on his police record, unable to travel because he had 6 grams of marijuana. Paul Farquharson says he remembers when police hit Mortimer with what he calls a whammy. Wham! You're charged with possession with intent to supply. You're a drug dealer. Mortimer says, but being the aggressive officers at that time, he was charged with possession with intent to supply. Therefore, I don't believe he thought that the day would ever come or he would see this day where his record would be expunged. Says he's a prominent businessman and therefore he has persevered. Therefore, on behalf of this committee, I want to extend you our best wishes and present you with your expungement of record. So nice. So nice after you juiced Perry Mortimer for 20 years almost for having 6 grams of marijuana. I'm not blaming you, Farquharson. You didn't personally book him and charge him, I don't believe. But that's what we did, right? So we ruined people's lives for generations, chasing behind a racist, misguided drug policy that has harmed far, far more people than it ever could have helped. Now, we seek to catch up with much of the rest of the world by now establishing a medical marijuana industry and changing the Dangerous Drugs Act in order to allow for possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about first, because Perry Mortimer went through so much. Let's first talk about the amendment of the Dangerous Drugs Act, all right? So the Dangerous Drugs Act at the moment makes it illegal to have Indian hemp without a permit from the Minister of Health. It is impossible to get a permit from the Minister of Health, therefore it is, for all practical intents and purposes, straight up contraband. All right? Now, what we're doing to the Dangerous Drugs Act is that we're changing the language and outlining that it is illegal to cultivate, possess, trade, sell, distribute marijuana unless you are within the guidelines of the medicinal cannabis bill. We're changing it from Indian hemp to cannabis as well. All right? So it does numerous things, but what it does is it allows you, here's what it says, a person who is in possession of cannabis in a quantity exceeding the quantity of cannabis specified in Section 6D, but not exceeding the amount prescribed in accordance with Section 22, commits an offense and is liable on conviction of information to a fine not exceeding $100,000, okay, or to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 10 years, or both such fine and imprisonment, or on summary conviction to a fine not exceeding $5,000, or to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 5 years, or to both such fine and imprisonment. Conviction on information is where they see you, and you have a ticket. You get a ticket. They say, hey, I see you with the weed. Here's the ticket. You admit you have the weed. and here's a fine. Now, the $100,000 thing, summary conviction is you go to court. All right? I think they're going to have to change that $100,000 language. I'm sorry, summary conviction is the other way around. You get the ticket, so my lawyer friend tells me, and you get a fine and the prison. Makes no sense. All right. Section 6D says this. A person who is in possession of cannabis in a quantity of 2 ounces or less, or other such amount as may be prescribed by the minister by order published in the Gazette, contravenes this subsection. So you would not fall prey to the penalties for possession of cannabis if you are in possession of 2 ounces or less. The minister can publish in the Gazette an order that says you are now allowed to possess 3 ounces, 4 ounces, 6 ounces. I think in Jamaica it's 6 ounces. Subsection 1 shall not apply to the possession of cannabis for a purpose specified in Section 6C2. So that is what the medicinal cannabis bill covers, and we're going to cover that. But first, let's show where you can have it legally. So nothing in the sections shall apply to the license or authorized use of cannabis under the Medicinal Cannabis Act 2021. All right? So if you have, I have a license to cultivate marijuana, you can't touch me. All right? The Dangerous Drug Act is now also being amended to ban smoking cannabis in public places and workplaces and other places. So a person who is in lawful possession of and who smokes cannabis in or within a 6 feet radius of the entrance, exit, window, door, or other ventilation source of a public place, workplace, or public conveyance commits an offense and is liable on conviction of information to a fine not exceeding $10,000 or to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 5 years, or to both. On summary conviction, to a fine not exceeding $5,000 or to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 2 years, or both. For the purposes of this subsection, public places include all government-occupied offices, all health facilities, including pharmacies and the offices of medical practitioners and other health professionals, all sports, athletic, and other similar facilities for the use of the public, all educational institutions, all bus stops, departure, and arrival waiting areas at a port or station or of any form of public transportation, all areas specifically for use by children, balconies of tourist establishments, so you gotta smoke it in your room now, residences and guest houses for the use of staff employed in tourist establishments. So, you know, if you're a residence or guest house and your staff and you want smoke, but other employees reside there too, you don't have the right to just light it up there, all right? All beaches, can't smoke on the beach, all right? Or however you want to do. You want to rub it on your skin or like chop it up and inhale it, whatever, you can't have it. But this just says smoking, actually. So you probably could have the edibles and, you know what I mean? Or the cookies or whatever like this. I don't know how it all works. You don't know it? You don't know either? No? You don't know nothing about it. All right. Smoking, but cannabis is also banned in the what? Right. You want the license, though. I know, right. It's banned in all parks. Cannabis is banned in all public swimming pools. It's banned in all outdoor or indoor markets. Other indoor or outdoor events used for gathering of individuals. All right? So, penalty for commission of the offense of possession of cannabis in small quantities. A person who contravenes Section D shall not be liable to be arrested or detained, but shall be liable to a fixed penalty of $500. So, okay, that's the ticket. All right? They're not going to arrest you. All right? For possession of just over it, if they don't believe you intend to supply it. They're going to ticket you. The ticket's $500. A police officer who has reasonable grounds to believe that a person is in contravention of Section 6D shall, by giving the prescribed notice in writing in accordance with subsection 3, I'll get to that, offer that person the opportunity to discharge the fixed penalty. A notice in accordance with this subsection shall give such particulars of the contravention alleged as is necessary for giving reasonable information of the allegation. State that the fixed penalty shall be paid within 30 days after the date of the service of the notice. State the amount of the fixed penalty and that such fixed penalty shall be paid to the Treasury, if in New Providence or Grand Bahama, or to any magistrate's court or administrator's office, as the case may be, if the offense occurs in any other island of the Bahamas. A notice in accordance with this subsection shall require the person in the event that the fixed penalty is not paid within the period specified in the notice to attend before a stipendiary and circuit magistrate, if in New Providence or Grand Bahama, or to appear before any magistrate, court, or administrator's office in the island or settlement on which the contravention is alleged to have been committed, to answer a charge on such date as may be specified, being a date not earlier than 10 days after the expiration of the period specified pursuant to the subsection. So if you don't pay it, you got to go to court. All right? This says, a notice in accordance with this subsection shall also, in any case falling within subsection 4, refer the person to the National Drug Council or such other bodies the minister may prescribe. All right? Now, section 4 says that you can be referred to the National Drug Council or any other such body as the minister may prescribe if you're found in possession of marijuana if you are under the age of 18 years old. And if you are 18 years or older, and it appears to the officer issuing the fixed notice, the ticket, that the person has been issued a fixed penalty notice on more than one occasion within a period of 3 months prior to the present notice, or if you appear to the police officer issuing the fixed notice, otherwise are dependent on cannabis. So what this does is it allows for those who are found with marijuana under 18 years old not to be ticketed and arrested, but to be referred to the National Drug Council, all right, for counseling, et cetera, treatment, or to any other body the minister may prescribe. So they may be formulating a body to deal with marijuana addiction, et cetera. They do that sort of in Chile. You're automatically referred to a psychologist if you are using more than the amount prescribed by the government, that is allowed by the government. All right. If the fixed penalty is paid, you're not liable to a conviction. It doesn't go on your record. All right. If a person, without reasonable cause or excuse, fails to pay the fixed penalty in accordance with a notice issued to that person, you shall be liable upon conviction to perform unpaid work for such number of hours, being in the aggregate not less than 40, nor more than 360, as may be specified by the court in an order made for that purpose. Okay, so you can be ordered to do community service work if you are ticketed for marijuana possession and you do not pay. All right? If the court is not satisfied that arrangements can be made in the area in which the offender resides or will reside for the offender to perform work under an order made pursuant to the previous paragraph and for the proper supervision of that work, you can get a fine of $1,000. All right? For the purpose of the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act, a person convicted of an offense under Section 6D of this Act, possession, shall be treated as a rehabilitated person in respect thereof, and any such conviction shall be treated as spent. Okay, so, Perry Mortimer, who got jam all those years ago, he got his expungement through the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act, right? Which set up the Rehabilitation of Offenders Committee. According to the change in law, your conviction for small possession will be considered under the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act as spent. So you ain't got to apply like Perry Mortimer had to. All right? Now, if you intend to supply, you still got a problem. All right? Nah. You have a major problem. All right? Because they are increasing the penalties. All right? As it appears to me, this seems to be an increase in the penalty. Let me double check that. If you are found to have a dangerous drug in your possession with intent to supply to another in contravention of this act, on conviction of information, you're subject to a fine not exceeding $500,000 or to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 30 years. Yeah, that is an increase. That provision does provide an increase because this would be the same idea. On summary conviction, to a fine not exceeding $250,000 or to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 7 years. Yeah, summary conviction would be magistrate's court. Conviction of information would be Supreme Court. All right, so Supreme Court gets you up to $500,000 and up to 30 years in jail. Provided that, however, where the offense occurs within a mile of a school, such person shall be liable to a fine of $250,000 or to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 7 years or to both such fine and imprisonment. Yeah. So you can get an additional fine and jail time if it's within a mile of a school, which is rough in Nassau. Is there anywhere not within a mile of a school? In New Providence, anyway? For the purposes of subsection 1, which hits you with that whammy like Farquharson said, where a person is found in possession of two or more packets containing dangerous drugs or a quantity of dangerous drugs in excess of such quantity as may be prescribed in regard to that drug, it shall be presumed until the contrary is proved that he was in possession of that drug with intent to supply it to another or others, irrespective of whether that other or others be within the Bahamas or elsewhere. All right? If the person is found in possession of dangerous drugs, is under 18, or is 18 and older and appears to be addicted to that drug, they refer to the National Council for Drug Abuse or any such body the minister may determine. All right, notwithstanding all that, the possession of cannabis in such quantity as may be prescribed shall be lawful, where the same is handled in accordance with a license, permit, or authorization issued pursuant to the Medicinal Cannabis Act 2021. All right? If you supply dangerous drugs to a person under 18, you're liable to a fine of $750,000 or imprisonment for up to 40 years. Okay? All right. For the purposes of this, where the quantity of dangerous drugs is in the case of cannabis in excess of 10 pounds, or in the case of cocaine in excess of 2 pounds, or in the case of opium, morphine, and its salts, including diacetylmorphine, commonly known as heroin, in excess of 20 grams, the provisions of these subsections shall have effect as if for respective maximum terms of imprisonment liable to be imposed thereunder. Dang. Yikes. This makes it, this actually vastly strengthens the, or increases the penalties for possession of marijuana if you ain't got a license. So they're really trying to fence you in to operate within the framework of what they're trying to put together. That's a serious, serious penalty there. We can take calls. I'll get into the medicinal cannabis bill in a moment. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How's it going?
I want to ask you a question as relates to what you have read in the hearing of God's people. I want to ask the leader of the office and only the members of the Honorable House of Assembly that were elected by the sovereign citizens of the Commonwealth of Ohio. Only those, along with the cabinet, are y'all on any of those drugs? The Bahamian people is telling y'all, we do not want the legalization of no drugs in this country before you respect, just as now you're acknowledging there's work you have to be done with this marijuana, for whatever reason.
Mm.
That's not important to us more than how we gonna either tax all the monies from foreign corporations leaving this country.
Mm.
Any person, Bahamian or foreign, sending money out of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, how much money are we gonna tax them? Now, until you can answer me, I'm telling y'all no to drugs in this country.
I'm pretty sure, Amos, that all the money that's already sent out of the country is subject to tax. So that's covered. As far as you're asking me if I'm on any of these drugs, not that it's any of your business, but no. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
How's it going?
Eric, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. And good afternoon to your listeners. Juan, they sound like they're saying they different from the medical marijuana. They, from what you're reading, they could criminalize it, or let for instance, who wants smoke, we'd be able to smoke like 2 ounces or something like that.
You can have up to 2 ounces and not get a ticket or go to jail.
Say it again, Juan.
You can have up to 2 ounces and not get ticketed or go to jail.
Okay, and you'll be abiding by the rules of the law.
If you have 2 ounces, yes.
Okay, you know how fast they could do this? They got to pass through parliament and everything, or there's something we could do right now.
No, you can't do it now, no.
I mean, people doing it right now. But
well, it's
saying,
illegal now, yeah, so no.
Yes, illegal right now, so you don't know how fast they could do it.
I don't, but the Prime Minister said that he thinks as early as next week they'll table it, and I assume they would debate it soon.
And then it got to go to the Senate, the Governor General, and everything.
Correct, yes.
And this is only for adult use, right? Not for no children, right?
I'm going to get to that.
Oh, you go ahead and get to that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the part where you was talking about, I thought somebody killed somebody or something, or you was talking about crack cocaine. You talking about 40 years for weed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real? I wonder if, not the people who write it, but I wonder if you're on crack or something to say 40 years for weed.
That's a lot, and I think...
Yeah, I wonder if you, if that person, I mean, I wonder if they were thinking right, because you got to be on crack cocaine or something to think something like that for marijuana, but God put you on earth, but helping people with medicine, you can get them 40 years. I mean, you could penalize them and stuff like that. I understand the $500 and stuff and things like that, but 40 years?
Well, here's what the, and I'm going to explain, see, I haven't finished, though.
I hang up and listen, man, I tell them I hurry up, yeah, but this overdue, brother. They're always making criminals of people and expunging people who are in jail.
Yeah.
Not intense to supply. I know you all say not intense. People who smoke on a joint and stuff that are legalized to be so adults could smoke freely. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Now, you can't just smoke anywhere. I just explained it's banned in public places. So here's the thinking. The thinking is that, okay, let me not assume what people are thinking. Let me see. Let me examine it. And here's my analysis of what's going on. What's going on is that they're allowing you to now have a medical cannabis industry. They're allowing you to get medically prescribed cannabis. They're allowing you to possess cannabis. They ain't really ask you where you get a prescription from, I guess. And if you don't operate within the framework of what they are establishing, the penalties are extreme, much, much more severe than they are now. And the extreme penalty, I guess, is to encourage people to operate within a legal framework. Nah, I can't help you if you got more than 2 pounds of cocaine. That's what a key? Yeah, you got to end problems then. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Golly day. So this doc, you know, I belong with you one. Mm-hmm. One, tell me something. Now, all of that law they are making, right? Mm-hmm. Bahamians want to be entrepreneurs, right?
Right.
They haven't given any of those people license to grow the stuff. So where are they coming from?
You haven't let me finish. I'm going to get into that. They are going to give people licenses.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll be back.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, Burger King, Open Current, Ministry of Finance, Ron's Electric Motors, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and Wendy's.
Property tax bill? Take advantage of our Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106X. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck. The country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney, so good to have you with us. We're talking about the changes to the Dangerous Drug Act. And while it allows you to have possession of up to 2 ounces of marijuana, it appears to drastically increase the penalties for possession of marijuana if you're outside of the provisions of that act or the Medicinal Cannabis Act, which I will read the draft legislation to you in just a few. I know you have questions and you have text messages. I'll get to a couple of those, but let me just say to you what this act does, all right? So, the medicinal cannabis bill, all right, establishes a body corporate to be known as the Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority. Let me repeat that for you again. The Medicinal Cannabis Bill 2021 would establish a corporate body known as the Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority. So it is going to be a statutory corporation that regulates medicinal cannabis in the Bahamas. Okay, it's going to be a corporation. It's going to have a common seal, like any other corporation. It's going to be able to sue, be sued. It's going to be able to do all such things within the provisions of this law that a corporation can do, all right? Or within the provision of law in the Bahamas, all corporate law. I'm sorry, we can take the call, or you don't care. Oh, they hung up. Okay, my bad. All right, so we're going to establish a medicinal cannabis authority. This authority will develop policies, procedures, and guidelines to establish and regulate the medicinal cannabis industry and to ensure that medicinal cannabis is available to patients in a safe and efficient manner. It's going to regulate the handling of medicinal cannabis, in extreme detail it does so. It allows you to track inventory cannabis. It allows you to detail certain strains, ban certain strains. This bill is over 50 pages long. It's going to issue licenses in relation to the handling of medical cannabis. It's going to establish and maintain a database, including information relating to patients, medical practitioners, licensees, and caregivers, and provide for the electronic tracking of the handling of medicinal cannabis or cannabis in otherwise in accordance with the act. And we say they say otherwise because they're also allowing cannabis research. So you could establish a research facility for cannabis under this act, or the university could conduct research. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
One.
Hello.
Listen, even if they do that, right, they're going to make a lot of money because they're looking at the national debt and trying to pay down on the national debt. Amos is not trying to be no opposition to that. Understand what I'm trying to explain. If the average young man right now, thanks to COVID-19 and natural disasters and other stuff, have caused a lot of people to be unemployed, a lot of them are young men, young women, whoever, going to be burning this weed. Using this weed, okay? What we're saying, the whole debate about weed in general came up as a result of the recreational use that are present and prevalent, okay, in this country, okay? Now, what I am saying, and I don't want no one to misunderstand me, because no one could speak for me. Unfortunately, I have to do everything for myself, okay?
That's usually how life works, but okay. Is he gone? Y'all gonna let me finish? Can I explain it before everyone hop on? I mean, feel free if you want to hop on before I explain and then just wait for the explanation. That's fine, too. All right. So Now, see who that is. Do they have a question? Can we table it? Or can we... Maybe let's get through some of this first. All right. So the Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority is going to also provide for the distribution of educational materials and the conduct of training programs in relation to the medicinal cannabis industry and the development and use of medicinal cannabis. All right? So it does other things. The authority has vast powers. It's going to be comprised. It's going to be run by a board. All right? That will be the governing body of the authority. Okay? So just like other corporations, it'll have a board. All right? It's going to have a CEO, a deputy CEO. All right? They're going to second public officers from other areas, right? Now, a lot of this is still subject to the Minister of Health, but I'm sure that won't be a problem, particularly with Renwood Wells. He'll consult Yahweh, and then we'll be fine. All right? Now, the board also has an obligation to secrecy. All right. So every person engaged in the administration of this act and every employee or agent of the authority shall regard and deal with as secret and confidential all information, records, or documents related to the functions of the authority obtained by the person in the course of the performance of his duties or otherwise. So this would be in accordance with medical practice where there's confidentiality. So they're treating this as if it's this is a medical information. This is your medical information. And though you're using a controlled substance, they want to know who is using it. So for instance, when you go to get your Ambien from the pharmacy, right? You can't just go and be like, Papa, give me 50 Ambien. I can just take them as I see. You need a prescription from a doctor. And if you run out of Ambien, I'm speaking from experience here. Let's say you throw away your Ambien, right? Or let's just say you felt like you needed. I stopped taking Ambien because anyway, long story. It works, though. Let's say you take 2 Ambien and you run out of Ambien a few days before your next prescription. They're not going to give it to you. All right? They're going to call your doctor. Okay? And they're going to actually treat you like a drug addict. So that's how I was treated. Like, I'm going to go get cough syrup. Do you know cough syrup's contraband now? Like the hardcore cough syrup? I went to go get it and they looked at me like, I was going to go drug little girls. Or something. I was like, what are you? Oh, well, you know, they use it for syrup now. They put the cough syrup in the Sprite. I was like, do I look like I'm 16 years old? I have a cough. Give me the cough syrup. And they gave me a hard time. But so if you go get the Ambien, they keep your medical information on file. All right? It's private. It's confidential. But it's a controlled substance. They want to know who's giving it out and who it's being given to. But they have a duty to keep your information confidential. All right? There's a lot more to this. So stay tuned. We'll get to it on the other side.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So what are the boys?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Sourdough King is back at Burger King Nassau. This fan favorite features 2 quarter-pound savory flame-grilled beef patties topped with thick-cut smoked bacon, 4 slices of melted American cheese, ketchup, and creamy mayonnaise, all on toasted sourdough slices. Get your sourdough sandwich as a single or a double and add ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings for a perfect way to fill your day. The flame-grilled Sourdough King is only here for a limited time and only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Here's what you can expect when it's your turn to be vaccinated. After registering online, you will show up at your selected vaccination center on the appointed date and time. Remember to carry your ID along with your confirmation code for verification. Next, you will sanitize your hands and have your temperature checked before checking in and joining the queue. When it is your turn, you will be directed to a vaccination station and a healthcare provider will fill out your vaccine information card and administer the vaccine. You will then be sent to an observation area where you will wait for 15 minutes and be monitored for signs of any adverse reaction. In the case of emergencies, vaccine sites are equipped with an emergency setup where a doctor is on standby. After the 15-minute wait, you are free to go. Be sure to monitor any symptoms over the next few weeks and remember to schedule your second dose within 8 to 12 weeks. It's your choice, your chance to protect yourself. Register to get vaccinated for COVID-19 today at vax.gov.bs.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. I'm Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking about the Medicinal Cannabis Bill 2021, what the medical marijuana industry in the Bahamas would look like. We went through the provisions of the Dangerous Drug Act that are being changed that would affect those in possession of less than 2 ounces of cannabis. It wouldn't be a problem. Over that, there's ticketable offenses. Over another amount, you go to court. We also discussed that they're going to be establishing a Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority. It's going to be run, it's going to be a body corporate that's run by a board. It's got a chairman and a deputy chairman selected from the board by the minister who appoints the board, the minister who's responsible. So I don't know if that's the Minister of Health or if it's going to be the Prime Minister in the Office of the Prime Minister. I don't know. It's just the minister is what the language says. All right. So it's whosever portfolio this would fall under. I would assume it would be the Minister of Health, but things work different under this administration, I guess. You got the Prime Minister covering a whole lot of ground here. The board's going to have 9 members. They're going to be from someone from banking, someone from the legal community, someone from with a background in sociology, someone with a background in agriculture, someone with a background in scientific research, someone with a background in pharmacology, and someone with a background in medicine, as well as someone from a faith-based organization and a member of civil society. They're going to be board members for 3 years. And the director of youth will be an ex officio member of the board without the power to vote. All right. Now, the Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority is going to be able to issue licenses, all right, and permits for the, and I'll explain to you, for different areas of marijuana cultivation and handling. All right. Now, part of, and it gets to use that money, as well as whatever money may be appropriated from Parliament, All right. And it also gets to borrow, but it's going to use that part of that money if the Minister of Finance directs to strengthen the capacity and programs for the Bahamas National Drug Council, including public education programs to discourage the recreational use or abuse of cannabis by young persons, persons with mental disorders, pregnant women, and other vulnerable groups. It'll use some of that money to strengthen the Bahamas mental health institutions and services. It could be ordered to use that money for funding scientific or medical research into cannabis and for funding research into cultivation of cannabis and the manufacture of cannabis products with nutraceutical values, all right? Now, the authority is going to, other than that, the authority will, every year, pay out, at the end of every financial year, it's going to pay out to the consolidated fund all excess revenue over expenditure. So all the surplus, unless the Minister of Finance direct, goes into the consolidated fund. So that's how we get paid, all right? Unlike the overflight fees that we're going to be collecting now, like that don't go back into the consolidated fund, right? That has to be invested in aviation capacity, all right? Civil aviation capacity. Now, all right, you got a caller? So y'all just want to weigh in. Y'all don't want to hear how it actually worked. That's no problem. Let's talk about something we're not clear about. Well, go ahead. But sure thing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, Sparky.
Right there. Well, I just tuned into you, so I...
Right.
I heard earlier.
Well, why don't you take a pause, Sparky? I'm not trying to be rude. Take a pause and listen to what the rest I have to say, and then weigh in. All right? So let me explain how this thing works. Okay? So the authority would also have the power to borrow, would also have the power to invest, all right? And it's got to report to the minister. Now, the authority will handle licensing, all right? Here's what the authority can grant you a license to do. The authority can grant you a license to cultivate, which means growing, harvesting, drying, trimming, curing, or packaging cannabis. The authority can grant you a license to import cannabis seedlings, cannabis cuttings from any country in which it is lawful to do so. All right, for the purposes of cultivation. It will allow you a license to export, all right, locally cultivated cannabis, cannabis materials, cannabis products, or medicinal cannabis to a country to which it is lawful to export. It can grant you a license to manufacture and process cannabis materials, cannabis products, or medicinal cannabis. It can grant you a license for the conduct of scientific research relating to the development of medicinal cannabis. It can grant you a license to allow for the transport of cannabis, cannabis materials, cannabis products, or medicinal cannabis in the Bahamas. A holder of a cultivation license also needs an import license. All right? The holder of a research license will also need an import and an export license if you plan on importing the material to research or exporting the material to share that cannabis that you've researched, all right? So maybe you grow a new strain, you want to send it to other people to say, look at this, this does something. We figured out a way to take all the THC out of this and the CBD, we've isolated a new chemical that cures cancer, right? So like this sort of thing, all right? An accredited tertiary educational institution can be authorized to cultivate cannabis on land designated by the minister. All right? You can apply for a license if you are a citizen of the Bahamas, 21 years or older, or if you are a legal entity. All right? If you're 21 or older, you can apply for a license. If you're a legal entity, you can apply for a license, all right? And it goes through what you need to do. The authority determines whether you grant, you get their license or whether you are refused for the license, all right? The authority can refuse to grant you a license if it's the granting of that license would be inconsistent with the Bahamas' international obligations. If the authority is not satisfied on reasonable grounds of the suitability of the location of the premises or of the proposed security arrangements at the premises where activities authorized by the license will be carried out, it can refuse you in respect of an application for an export license if the applicant does not hold a cultivation, manufacturing, or research license, if the license fee has not been paid, or if the applicant is not a fit and proper person. What is a fit? Who is a fit and proper person, you ask me? Well, according to the Act, in determining whether a person is fit and proper, in addition to considering any other relevant matter, including a decision made in respect of the person by any other regulator, court, or tribunal, the authority shall have regard to the financial status or solvency of the person, the educational or other qualifications and experience of the person, having regard to the nature of the role or functions that the person would be performing with regard to the application, the ability of the person to carry on the regulated activity competently, honestly, and fairly, the reputation and character where a person's an individual or where the person's a legal entity, including the character of your directors, partners, CEO, or any other officer of your organization if you're a legal entity. If your application's incomplete, they're going to refuse you. If you are granted, if your application for a license is approved, your license is valid for 3 years. Your license is non-transferable. If you would like to apply to the Bahamas Medicinal Cannabis Authority for a license to either cultivate, import, export, manufacture, research, or transport cannabis, you would have to pay $1,000 non-refundable for a single license, $2,000 non-refundable for two or more licenses applied for at the same time. There's a $1,000 fee for each additional license applied during the duration of the initial license. That's just for applying, and that's non-refundable as well. The fee for a cultivation license valid for 3 years is $10,000. All right, you'd be approved. You'd pay the $10,000. You don't get your money back if you don't use the license. The fee for import is $10,000. The fee for the export license is $10,000. The fee for the manufacturing license is $10,000. The fee for the research license is $10,000. The fee for the transport license, up to three vehicles, is $10,000. And it's $1,500 for each additional vehicle. All right? If you don't apply for your renewal in time, it's $1,000. Penalty. All right. Now, let's talk about, I won't talk about all the strictures of how you store it and how your license gets suspended and all this other stuff like that. What we want to talk about at this point is the ability to prescribe and be prescribed medical cannabis. This says a medical practitioner may prescribe medical cannabis. All right? A medical practitioner may prescribe medical cannabis. So now let's understand what a medical practitioner is. A medical practitioner, according to this bill, has the meaning assigned to it by Section 2 of the Medical Act 2014. I don't have that in front of me, but if you're wondering what a medical practitioner is, go look up Section 2 of the Medical Act 2014. They can prescribe medical cannabis. All right? Now, You can, we'll talk about a prescription for a visitor, but first let's talk about a medical practitioner may give a prescription for a patient to his caregiver, all right, to his guardian, and if a young person, your parent or legal guardian. So let's establish some things. A patient, legally under this act, is someone 21 years or older. To get a medical marijuana prescription, you have to be 21 years or older. But if you are not, your parent or legal guardian has the ability to ask for a prescription for medical cannabis for you. All right? If you are a guardian appointed under the Mental Health Act, you have the ability, all right, to ask for a medical cannabis prescription. If you are a caregiver, you take care of someone, they can't come, they go get it, and they need medical marijuana, or they're so too sick to come, but they need the marijuana for, let's say they got cancer, nausea from chemotherapy, or if they got HIV or AIDS and they don't have any appetite or something like this, right? So you can be their caregiver and go get it, all right? Now, you have to have documentation for that. A medical practitioner can also give a visitor to the Bahamas a prescription for medical cannabis. All right, I'll take the call. I'm not trying to be rude, but unless you can really aid me in something that we're unclear about, such as what the medical, that chapter of the medical access, I'm going to have to move on. So let's take the call, because I really want to give the benefit of the majority of people listening an understanding of how this works. Good afternoon. Or who is that? No? Okay, well, no, and let's not take the call. Not, if I'll give you a chance to weigh in. Just let me get through this. All right? Now, you can, if you're a visitor, access, get a prescription for medical cannabis. It says, a patient who's a visitor to the Bahamas may purchase and possess medicinal cannabis in the Bahamas if that patient is in possession of a prescription issued by a medical practitioner and a valid valid permit issued to that person, all right, under subsection 2. Subsection 2 says you can get a permit issued by the Minister of Health, all right? A medical practitioner shall only prescribe medicinal cannabis for a patient who's a visitor to the Bahamas where that patient has a valid permit issued under subsection 2, all right? So, if you're a visitor, you got to apply for a permit. Now, they say now you can apply for a permit, right? But no system actually exists for you to apply for a permit. So what I believe would be the best route to take, and surely smarter people than me are thinking through this, would be a permit site. So you're a visitor, you upload your data, you apply for a permit, then they issue you a permit within a specific period of time. All right? And you have your permit on your phone, or you print it out, or you could apply for your permit before you come. You come in for some marijuana, medical marijuana tourism. Right? I want to get my medical cannabis treatment in the Bahamas. I'm going to stay at the hotel. Don't smoke it on your balcony. All right? You would apply possibly beforehand. Okay? Now, if a patient no longer suffers from the medical condition for which medical cannabis was prescribed, if the medical cannabis prescribed is no longer therapeutic or palliative in the treatment for which the cannabis was prescribed, if the patient is no longer under the care of a medical practitioner, or if a patient dies, the medical practitioner shall, within 30 days, give written notice of the event to the authority, and therefore the prescription would no longer be valid. You can write a prescription for quantities to last you up to 30 days, to last the patient up to 30 days, all right? They're going to need all your information for the prescription, all what your doctor need now. They can do it. Now, where do you get the medical cannabis from? The magical medical cannabis store? All right. A pharmacist can dispense medical cannabis on the presentation of a prescription from a medical practitioner and a valid form of identification. So pharmacies, all right, can dispense. You have to have a label on it, etc. A pharmacist shall not dispense to a patient or caregiver a quantity of medical cannabis greater than that which the patient or caregiver is permitted to obtain under the prescription, or any form of cannabis prohibited under this act or the Dangerous Drugs Act. So like I said, this act can ban certain strains of THC. Cannabis, sorry. Right? For the purposes of this section, pharmacists includes a pharmacy intern or pharmacy technician who assists and works under the supervision of a pharmacist who's registered and licensed under the Pharmacy Act. A pharmacist shall not dispense to any patient or caregiver more than the 30-day supply of medical cannabis at a time. All right? How do you determine what a 30-day supply is? I guess the doctor would determine that, the medical practitioner. All right? A license shall pay to the board such tax... A licensee shall pay to the board such tax as may be prescribed by the minister. So if you're cultivating, right, and selling the marijuana, it is taxable. You're exporting it, it is taxable. All right? That goes into the consolidated fund. All right. Now, there's much more to go through, but you have some questions. All right? You want to weigh in? I see you calling. We can do that now. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Is it me? Am I talking to myself? Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Nope, nobody's there. Okay, fair enough. Let's go to, then, some of your text messages. All right. This says, exports are VAT-free, so are they going to redo the VAT system, too? They may. It says, all the new law is well and good, but how are they going to decide who gets a license? We covered that. How about extreme penalties for drivers like the one that totaled my mother's car and left her with $12,000 in hospital bills? That problem is bigger than weed and my problem. Okay. This says, one, be careful. Many marriages will go down in a deep hole. Because of legalized marijuana. I mean, you understand that anyone who wants marijuana out here now can pretty much get it anytime. We go to the phone. Let's go to the phone. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon. Marcus Cooper here. I'd like to make a comment about medical cannabis.
Hey, Marcus Cooper, thank you so much. Dr. Marcus Cooper, head of the Bahamas Medical Association. Great. Please do so. Go ahead.
Actually, I'm the immediate past president.
Oh, who's the new president?
The new president would be Dr. Cindy Dorsett.
Boy, that's news to me. Okay, thanks for letting me know. So what's your take on all this?
So I just wanted to make a comment about the prescription of cannabis for medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no physicians who can prescribe marijuana. There are no prescribing guidelines for whole plant marijuana. There is no physician who can tell you what the dosage of marijuana is for any condition. There is no physician who can tell you what the immediate or long-term side effects, although they are minimum, of cannabis for any medical condition. Any cannabis that you get, unless you know the exact concentration of THC and CBD, can you accurately prescribe it for any medical condition? You can suggest it, you can recommend it, but there are no prescribing guidelines for whole plant cannabis. Now, there are cannabinoids, and these are medications, usually pharmaceutical grade. Medications like Nabilone, which is used for seizures, There are some for the chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting that are pharmaceutical grade. Mm-hmm. But you cannot go to a physician and ask him for a prescription for marijuana and expect to get an accurate prescribing or prescription that's going to help you. They can suggest, mm-hmm. because you maybe have failed conventional therapy, maybe you should try this, maybe you should try that, but nobody knows what the dose is.
So this isn't scientific, is what you're saying?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. It's a recommendation that you can make based on your symptoms and what the science that we know about how cannabis works, but there's nobody who can prescribe it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I think we really need to rethink the jargon that's used in this bill, because people are going to expect that they can go to a physician who will say, take two joints every six hours, and this should help for your seizures.
Right.
Well, you don't know, depending on where you get your marijuana from, how much THC is in there. If you're smoking a joint every 6 hours, or you're using it as a tea, is it going to cause you to have some of the dry mouth? Are there any complications of getting seizures, diarrhea? Nobody can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I do think before we do this, a lot more work needs to be done on the science of medical marijuana or medical cannabis, and are we going to be using whole plant cannabis, or are we going to be using cannabinoids like CBD,
like the extracts,
which really has
right.
no addictive potential?
Yeah, this is cannabis product. It's pretty wide open. But before you go, let me just say that the act does outline that the minister has to make regulations in relation to the prescribing of medical cannabis, in relation to the use and in relation to the administration. The pharmacist is duty-bound by this act to state, like you say, the side effects, et cetera, the dangers that usage may present. But it also tightly regulates the strains of marijuana you can grow, and there's a framework for that, too. So, I mean, it's doable, I think, right?
Yeah, it's probably doable, but I think the regulations are going to have to be very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to know exactly what's in the product, so there's going to have to be regulations about what you can grow,
mm-hmm.
the strength of CBD and THC.
Right.
Who's going to be regulating? Who's going to be checking that?
That's right. And we do have that in this bill. There's inspectors. They have a schedule as to exactly how the licensee conducts their operations. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a framework. But like you say, the regulations are where we're really going to have the meat and potatoes of how this works.
Yeah. So,
fence, or what do you support it, or what do you?
Well, I am... I do know, and I've done quite a bit of research as president of the MAB. I did write a paper about medical marijuana.
Oh, could you send that to me, please?
Sure. And so I understand the science behind it. And
mm-hmm.
and cannabis definitely has beneficial medical properties. There are cannabinoids that are in the form, like I said, nabilone, and there's marinol. These are pharmaceutical-grade cannabinoids,
mm-hmm.
cannabis products
right.
that you can prescribe. They come with a package insert.
Right.
They come in a box. You can say take two tablets every 8 hours or take one tablet every 6 hours, and it has a side effect profile that's written on the package insert that's inside the box. So that's low-hanging fruit, and there are some definite benefits in certain situations. But when you're talking about whole plant
mm-hmm.
cannabis for medical use, it needs a lot more work.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you
thanks
so much. Send me the paper, will you, please?
Will do.
Okay, thanks a million. Take care. All right, well, you know, it's the past President Obama's Medical Association. He's expressing concerns and the need for more work, and that we don't have a framework that exists in the Bahamas. And he's right. He is right. He says it's doable. He says it just needs a lot more work. You know, and there are places where they do understand the strains, they know the strains, and that's the type of framework they are intending to have, to where we know exactly what you're growing, we know exactly what the strength of it is, we know exactly what products went into creating it, all right? That's the kind of framework that they're looking at. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn. Hey, you hear me?
Yeah, I can, yes.
Okay, man. All right. I'm glad that the doctor called because he cleared up a lot of things. Because, well, first, I'm the vice president of the House of Rastafari, and I really thought that they would have consultation with us because it's not really a real conversation that they're having. And it's funny that people who don't know, actually the people who's fighting marijuana the hardest all of our life is now the people who's going to regulate it.
Yeah.
And they have no clue, as the doctor showed. I personally does medical marijuana for patients, and it's not easy. It's not easy. But I will not be one of them be able to get a license because now they're going to make the pharmacy hold hundreds of pounds of marijuana. They're not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the things that we as the Rastafari community wrote legislation for the government and give it to the government because they asked us for it.
Could you send that to me, please?
Yeah, definitely. I was one of the architects of the document.
Okay, so please send. It's Juan at NASGARD.
The whole document for you. I have your email address on.
Okay, thank you.
Just that, and we have reg, and it's like they took none of the things we see. We could foresee what's coming, and everything they put in this is going to be a headache, and it doesn't make any sense.
So you think this is going to disadvantage, particularly the Rastafari community?
Oh, definitely. This is a regressive law. This doesn't help anybody except, okay, who's going to be on this board? I know we have a Mr. Terry Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Terry should be the one to lead any board. But let me see if they're going to put Terry on any board. They're already picking the people who they want. And these are people who have no knowledge of marijuana. But the MD who have been telling us the marijuana is bad is now going to be the MD to recommend it for us.
The people who banned it. And right.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It's like putting the teeth to guard the hen house.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
You're out watching the teeth.
So, you know what we get out of this law, what they give us?
Mm.
This whole law, 2 ounces of marijuana.
You get two to possess 2 ounces, yes.
Because this is what they expect us as the behemoths. It's all we want. It's just a smoke. They don't see, we actually see the economic value in it. But when you set up these boards, who's going to be on these boards? Another Halaresco board? Who really is going to, because they're not coming to us. They're not coming to the poor kind of farmer who just got bust in Grand Bahama with millions of dollars of marijuana. Are he going to be able to farm?
No,
he will not be able to farm. But who have better knowledge than him?
Right.
Most of the people with the knowledge who could assist the government cannot come out and say, we've been asking for them to give a moratorium so that people who does farm and do these things illegally could come out legally and say, I do this. Let me help with the framing of this. But right now they can't because they'll go to jail.
They surely will, yes. That's
you know,
correct.
So who they consulting? They're not going to Fox Hill and finding the people who do this and I consult with them. They're consulting with people who was always being against it, but now can see a monetary value to it. So that's all they're doing is setting the framework to make sure they can get the money that they need.
Would you have, let me just ask you real quick, would you have wanted to see a religious exemption in here? Would that make you feel more comfortable? Or just the whole framework is kind of screwed for you?
The thing is this, I would like to see for one, we have a constitutional, we're going to have a constitutional case coming up soon,
yes.
Which could be ended right there in this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we as Rastas want is them to admit that this is our constitutional right. So just give it to us. And
right.
That they don't have to go to Parliament to do that.
And
they don't have to debate that. They could give us that.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you wanting that because of the benefits to you herbally, spiritually, or do you look at it as an economic thing?
I look at it as, because we are Rastas, we look at it as nature. It's a plant.
Mm.
It's like making mango illegal.
Right.
And you know, so it sounds funny, but that's what it is. Shepherd Neely, what makes mustard gas.
Right.
We could find it all over my pants, and it's no problem. But so we want to see just nature become nature again.
Okay.
We also asked for one more thing, Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Education. How could you legalize something? Yesterday was the demon, and today is God. It can't be. If you got to explain to the people why it's good, and that comes with education. We as the Rasta community have been asking them to educate the population for the longest before we come to legalization. So that the people could, we wouldn't have this fight with people who don't understand what marijuana really is. Because if we go by what my parents tell us, hey, let's keep it illegal because it's a drug.
Right.
But when we can actually see it, I mean, that comes from education, something that they're not even talking about, really. And we are begging for the education. We asking the golden, not just to teach our philosophy, we're going to teach what cannabis is and the medical doctors who will come along and see that the documents are there. You know, we have people here in this country who's very educated on marijuana, but the government is not talking to these people. And I know because I'm in every marijuana group in this country who all, and we all fight for the same reason. When we sit in our board meetings, from the Rastafarian to the Gain to sitting with Terry Miller's group, we all speak the same voice. So I know they're not listening to us.
Thank you, my brother. That's a very good perspective. And send me that that legislation,
definitely,
please.
Definitely. I want everybody to see it, to see that we're really trying to do it. Really, the rest of the community is not just out there talking. We're actually trying to do work. But it's not accepted.
Well, the struggle continues, my brother. I'm here. So send it to me and we'll discuss it some more. Thank you for weighing in. Yeah, very two excellent perspectives, eh? Very good. Very good. That's the level of discourse we need around this issue. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, 52, how goes it?
I like to chime in. You know, I just love when Dr. Marcus Cooper speaks. You know, he's so sincere. Maybe they should put him in charge of the vaccine paradigm because I trust him, you know?
Right.
But Rasta's right. I think the little two wrongs is minuscule, right? And of course, we know the oligopolies are going to gobble up the market, right? Yeah, so
you think so? I mean, the barrier to entry doesn't seem that high. You think?
Yeah, I was hoping Harvard Cousin give me a job in the industry as a master grower.
Oh, Elliot. Well, I expect Elliot can come down and do it.
I'm a curator, right?
Right, yeah.
And also, I have experience in liquid Medtronics. It's just, you know what I mean? That's true voices mostly. But I wanted to touch Dr. Marcus Cooper, opened up my mind to something I had said. And so he's totally correct because we need the implementation of a gas chromatography mass spectrometry machine, right?
Yes, you would have to have that.
That's what I'm saying. It's, and so, and what happens is these are some crucial points here.
But those exist now, 52, in the Bahamas.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost that much. I am not hearing any narrative about organic growing versus inorganic growing because, you know, the hydroponics have a tendency to incorporate a lot of chemicals, right? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that the cannabis plant naturally has 480 naturally occurring ingredients. And 65 of those are cannabinoids, all right? And so you people in the States and other countries, they're allowed to use fertilizers and chemicals, but then they're given a period of 3 weeks, I think, to cleanse the plant. Like that means a 3 week period without nothing, just water to get it before they dispense it to the market. And then obviously you would need people to come in and inspect these concentrations. Normally, the last. You see what I'm saying? Is the THC concentration in the last Herb Olympics was about 37.5% THC, which is ridiculous. You know, you're trying to reach the moon with that.
How much will get you solid?
But back in the day, it was normal sensibilities from 8 to like 15%.
Now, do you say they got 37 now?
Basically, the CBDC is about 25%. But you don't need anything above 25. It's ridiculous. You're trying to brace your brain. I don't know what the problem is. But it's not about the psychedelic part of the drug. Also, I'm not hearing anything about industrial usage and stuff like that. They're talking about, you know, the little butters and the little products, but we're talking about an industrial scale. And people need to move along those guidelines. And so we're limited in the conversation, and we're limited in our knowledge about this conversation. And, of course, the Ross is correct with a little minuscule amount, about 2 ounces. But it's all designed for control. But it's all well and good. If they do it, they don't do it. It doesn't matter. Have a good day.
Okay, my brother. Right. Let's take a break there, Kermie, and then we'll be back on the other side. I'll try to get to some of your texts.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Here's what you can expect when it's your turn to be vaccinated. After registering online, you will show up at your selected vaccination center on the appointed date and time. Remember to carry your ID along with your confirmation code for verification. Next, you will sanitize your hands and have your temperature checked before checking in and joining the queue. When it is your turn, you will be directed to a vaccination station and a healthcare provider will fill out your vaccine information card and administer the vaccine. You will then be sent to an observation area where you will wait for 15 minutes and be monitored for signs of any adverse reaction. In the case of emergencies, vaccine sites are equipped with an emergency setup where a doctor is on standby. After the 15-minute wait, you are free to go. Be sure to monitor any symptoms over the next few weeks and remember to schedule your second dose within 8 to 12 weeks. It's your choice, your chance to protect yourself. Register to get vaccinated for COVID-19 today at vax.gov.bs.
Hurricane season runs until November 30th. The Insurance Commission of the Bahamas encourages homeowners to be prepared. Review your insurance coverage today. Check your policy limit. Is it enough to rebuild your home? Have you accounted for everything you own and how much it's worth? Do you know the percentage of the hurricane or storm deductible in your policy? What disasters does your policy cover? For more information on how to prepare for hurricane season, visit www.icb.gov.bs.
There's only one way to have a better morning. Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Everyone should experience a brand new car. But not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Penn. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We were talking about the medicinal cannabis bill and the proposed amendments to the Dangerous Drugs Act, all right, that allows for possession of small amounts of marijuana. We have had Dr. Marcus Cooper weigh in, and he's saying that a lot more work needs to be done on this because there's not actually a framework right now where Bahamian doctors know how to prescribe marijuana, and that there are a lot more work needs to be done before we implement this. And we've also heard from the Rastafari community in that they feel as though they have been locked out of something that they have years of experience in and have been persecuted for, and now they're not in the conversation, as it were, with regard to this legislation. Let me do some of your text messages, because we have calls, but we can always pick this back up. I'm certain this isn't the last conversation we'll have about it. Good afternoon, Juan. It's about time we legalize the thing. I don't know why we're so committed to moving at a slow pace. Nevertheless, better late than never. I support this move by the government. Now I can see the It's About Your Future slogan. Get it done. It says, where is Aspen? In Colorado, eh? It's a random question. Right? Says, Juan, you sure you don't know how it all works? Stop being modest. Well, you sound like an expert on the ganja. I have technical experience. I don't have in-the-field experience, per se. Not with what's going on now. I don't, this is the whole new thing you all got now. 52 say the Weed Olympics. This is great show as usual. Question, if you could go back in time and tell the 16-year-old you anything, what would it be? If I could tell the 16-year-old me anything, I would say to apply yourself for the next 20 years as completely as you can to your professional and personal growth, and then you can have easy sailing for at least the next 30 years after that. All right? Hey, Juan, sound like Papa Juan, the thing passed now. Sound like he wants a, yeah, Papa Salo. Impatient with it. This is a great show, best journalist in the moment. Oh, I thank you. I don't know about the best, but if you say so. It says, hi, Juan, couldn't this marijuana bill allow police to still be able to crack down on the current way marijuana flows through the Bahamas? Certainly. If, for example, a person is found in possession of marijuana within the legal limits, what's to stop an officer from asking them where they got it from? And if they can't say or refuse to, wouldn't that still allow them to detain a person for buying marijuana illegally? No. If you have it, they don't get to ask you where it comes from, right? If you have it, you're not in contravention of the act. If you have it within the guidelines of the act, they're not going to ask you where it comes from, et cetera, right? This allows for them to just be able to say, you're in the guidelines of the law, or if you're over it, then it's a ticketable offense. If you got more than 10 pounds, you're in problems, though. This says, at the time, most people were either charged with possession or intent to supply. No matter the quantity, it was against the law. So we can't go back in time to bash anyone, including the authorities. The law was what it was at the time. Now it has been altered and another law is applied, so we can only now go from current date forward as far as penalties are not. But they created the law. Why can't I bash them for a law that they created and that they applied, right? Selectively, I might add. Good afternoon. Well, now it seems as though the federal government of the USA has given the green light for the Bahamas to now legally benefit from the marijuana herb plant, if my memory serves right. The Attorney General made a statement some time ago in relation to the federal government. Hopefully, he'll comment on this matter soon. It's still not federally legal in the United States, but I don't know how long that's going to hold up. That's going to change, I believe. Probably within the same term with Biden, maybe. Juan, you think this rise in cases is from another backlog they just found and just don't know how to tell us and are gradually dropping numbers on us because I don't trust their numbers? Well, that's all we got, so I don't believe it or not. But, y'all say, y'all can do what you want, so don't worry about it. People will die, so hopefully nobody close to you, eh? I guess that's the attitude most people have taken. Who will staff this board will be the issue and the influence they wield. Yeah, well, they said from where they're supposed to come from. It says no refills on controlled substances either. The prescriptions expire after 30 days. Yeah, you got to keep going back to the doctor. I'll tell you my Ambien stories sometime. Write a book. But it's wild stuff. I'd see why that's a controlled substance. McCartney, 700 times 3,000 is 2.1 million, enough to get into the marijuana hemp industry. Yeah? Okay. Not sure what that equation is about. Juan, that cough syrup issue sounds like the first time I've heard you had problematic service. You must have rolled in there looking rough and say, give me some of that scissor. I didn't even know what he was talking about. I was like, cough? I can't have cough syrup? It's like, oh, the kid, people have come buy it for the, I said, man, I'm grown, okay? You can hear I have a cough. It says, are all the medicinal marijuana proceeds will end up in the consolidated fund and none will be earmarked for the programs to help the people. Already smell an inflated expensive board and a select group of persons who meet this criteria to profit from this poor Rastaman. Yeah, I do feel the Rastas are Well, let me say this. You can still, and I can't speak for their community, but I believe the Rastafarian community still can find a way to participate in this as it is structured, as it is intended to be structured according to this bill. Hi, Juan, how are you? You think Anton will be happy now? I have no idea. I don't know if Anton supports marijuana legalization. Juan, this new corporation has life with key and oligarchs written all over it. I bet you the only wealthy and politically connected families in our country will be allowed to do all the import-export options. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as the barrier for entry is not so high as to where a sensible middle class, or even if you're lower income and you want to work your way up to it, where sensible Bahamian businessmen who aren't oligarchs, right, can actually get into this industry. There doesn't seem to be that. There's no moratorium embedded in the legislation. There's no limit embedded in the legislation. So I don't see why an enterprising Bahamian or enterprising Bahamian company couldn't be able to enter into this industry. It says 40-year term for possession. How does the legislation protect the masses against neocolonialism and nepotism? If this can't bridge the socioeconomic divide, then what's the purpose? I think they're gonna have to look at that one. I get what they maybe try to do with that, with those crazy penalties, but they should look at 40 years for 10 pounds of marijuana. Good afternoon. I thought medicinal marijuana was already legal. You thought wrong. It says, hey, Juan, any idea what the tax percentage will be for the categories of harvesting, research, import, export? No, I don't. The Minister of Finance would get to decide that. This says, hey, Juan, good day. While I support marijuana for the use of medicinal and religious purposes, I don't want Bahamians to be sidetracked. The airspace fees are part of our natural resources. Who is the aggler to make a decision to allocate the monies just for aviation and against the Bahamians are going to benefit? I don't think the aggler had any say about it. I think ICAO had it in the Chicago Convention. Dictates that. Yeah. I'm just saying they touting it like it's, yeah, we straight now with the airspace overflight fees and it ain't like that. Will anyone in the country be allowed to grow the marijuana plant? Will the sale of the 2 ounces be subject to VAT? Will anyone in the country be allowed to grow? No, not anyone. Not just anyone, everybody. Will the CEO, you gotta have a license. And whether there be VAT on it? I don't know. I assume there will be VAT on it if you buy marijuana. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks so much. Sorry I couldn't get to all your calls, questions. I know you wanted to chime in, but I needed to get through at least most of it to help you have an understanding of what it is that is being proposed. You guys have a great day. Take care. Z Live Off the Record with Shavargo Lang is up next. See you tomorrow. Lord willing, Bahamas.